Hi. I apologize. I made a mistake with the times. I thought we were having Shir in 40 minutes from now, but I'm happy that I was just called to tell me that it's starting now. Okay. So today's Shir is part of Torah in Motion and organizing Shirim. And I want to thank again Rabbi Kelman for organizing this Shir. And today's Shir is going to be about the fifth cup of Leila Seder. Now, when I mention the idea of a fifth cup, some might look at me and say, "What are you talking about? Are you referring to the Kos Shel Eliyahu? The Kos Shel Eliyahu, is that really the fifth cup?" Well, that's part of what we're going to try to understand today, whether or not the fifth cup is really Kos Shel Eliyahu or is a separate cup called the fifth cup. So let's start from the beginning, which would be to understand what is the idea behind the Arba Kosot Bichlal. Why do we have this halacha that appears in the Mishnah already that you're supposed to have the night of Pesach at the Seder night four cups of wine? Now, if we were to ask people in the street, which obviously right now there's no one there, of course, but if we were to ask people on the street, what is the reason? What is the idea of the Arba Kosot? I would imagine that many people would tell us that it's about the Arba Lashonot of Geula, the four different verbs that appear in the Torah and Sefer Shemot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking us out of Egypt. Now, the problem, of course, with that theory is at least two problems. One problem is that the Yerushalmi that quotes this idea also mentions many other ideas, symbolic ideas for the number four. Arba Malchuyot, Arba Kosot Shel Paro. Now, with all due respect, this sounds, smells, and looks like a midrash, right? It's a classic midrash. Why? What's special about the number four? Where else do we have four things? And the Midrash is trying to give us an idea why Dafka four, but it doesn't answer the question why Dafka four cups of wine. The Levush, if I'm not mistaken, even suggests more radically. He suggests, wait a second, if it Arba Lashonot Geula requires us to do something with number four, so let's maybe eat four pieces of meat. Let's dance four times around the table. I mean, what is the connection between the Lashonot of Geula and the idea of the four kosot? So the answer, I think, is probably best to be found, according to my understanding and my knowledge, in the works of the Griz, and the Rambam, Rabbi Yitzchak Zeva Levi Soloveitchik, in one of his more well-known and famous pieces on the Rambam, explains what is the idea of the four cups of wine. He bases himself on a girsa of the Rif, as well as the Rambam, who talk about the Arba Kosot as explained to us that there are two separate halachot when it comes to what we're trying to achieve when we drink the four cups of wine. To quote the Gemara in Pesachim, the Gemara in two places at least, one of them is in Daf Kaf Tet Amud Bet. The Gemara tells us, "Arba'a kafei takinu rabbanan derech chirut, kol chad v'chad mitzvah ba'a pei nafsha." The Gemara here is telling us that arba kosot were decided upon by the rabbis to be celebrating our derech chirut, as well as kol chad v'chad is a separate mitzvah. Let's try to understand what this Gemara is telling us. The Gemara firstly is telling us that when we drink wine, we are celebrating our freedom. We are not just talking about freedom the night of Pesach. We're not just relating and remembering about what happened in the past, but we are actually trying to celebrate in a practical way almost. We are trying to celebrate our freedom. I'll give you an example where I think this is comes up in the Haggadah. In the beginning of the Haggadah, very famously, we announce, Kol dichfin yetei ve'echo. We invite people to come share our Seder. The truth is that it's a bit silly if you think about it. Here we are, the night of Pesach, sitting around the table. Obviously, we already planned and prepared the food and the guest list weeks before. And suddenly, when we're at the table, we announce, "Kol dichtinite bechol, anyone come join us." Is that really practical? So it's a very well-known idea, I believe, of Rav Soloveitchik, who argued that this is not necessarily a real invite, but rather it is a declaration of freedom. What's the difference between a poor man or a slave and a free person? The difference is that a slave doesn't own anything. Even his own food belongs to his master. He can't even give part of his bread to others without permission because it doesn't belong to him. However, a free person can do whatever he wants with his food, and that includes sharing it with others. So it could very well be that the beginning of the Seder, we are declaring our freedom by sharing our bread with others, by inviting others. We are proving that we are free people. In a similar way, when we sit down the night of Pesach and drink wine, wine is a drink of free people. Poor people or slaves don't drink wine. Wine is a celebration of freedom. And by drinking the wine, we are celebrating our freedom. However, why Dafka 4? Here the Gemara hints that there are four separate mitzvot that we are fulfilling by drinking the four cups of wine. I'm not sure that Gemara actually means that idea, but we can, as the Griz explains, that we are performing four separate mitzvot night of Pesach. And each of those mitzvot, the rabbis told us they should be done on a cup of wine. What are the four mitzvot? The four mitzvot are Kiddush, Magid, Birkat HaMazon, and Hallel. So why do these four mitzvot really require us to do them on a cup of wine? The answer is actually quite simple. Specifically, when we talk about Kiddush and Birkat HaMazon, let's ask a little an earlier question. Basically, why do we make Kiddush on wine? We all know that theoretically, Kiddush can be done, and it is done when we go to shul Friday night. We say Kiddush and davening, and we fulfill the chiyuv d'oraita of Kiddush by davening. The rabbis told us that we should do it on a cup of wine. Why? Why do we do it on a cup of wine? So here the answer is probably because of the importance that wine gives the mitzvah. Our rabbis told us that certain mitzvot, in order to enhance the experience, to show the importance of what we're doing, they told us to do it on a cup of wine. In a similar way, we perform weddings, Brit Milah, Pidyon Haben, are also done on a cup of wine because a cup of wine really gives some kind of chashivut, importance to the mitzvah that we perform. So Kiddush, every Shabbat, every Yom Tov, we make Kiddush on a cup of wine. So that's not so difficult to understand the first cup of the Seder. What about the second cup? The second cup is Magid. Why is Magid done on a cup of wine? So here again, we can explain. The mitzvah of Magid, similar to Kiddush, is a mitzvah that does not have any ma'aseh, any action to it. There's no lulav shaking, there's no tefillin putting on our heads, there's no sitting in a sukkah. We are just discussing and speaking a mitzvah. And therefore, the rabbis wanted to give the mitzvah chashivut importance. They decided to drink a cup of wine. This idea, by the way, can be also, this idea we can find also in the works of the Rambam. The Rambam, sorry, I'm just getting the Rambam here off the shelf. The Rambam in Hilchot Chametz u'Matzah in the seventh perek tells us about the mitzvah of Magid. And what does the Rambam tell us here? He tells us that there's a connection between the mitzvah of Magid and the mitzvah of Shabbat. It's a very strange Rambam. Why tell us that there's a connection between them both? What is that connection? I'll read you from the words of the Rambam. Mitzvat aseh shel Torah lesaper b'nisiv niflaot sheneemar zachor et hayom hazeh asher yatzatem mimitzrayim. The pasuk he refers to, remember the day that you left Egypt. And then the Rambam adds, kemo sheneemar zachor et yom haShabbat. As it says, similarly in the psukim, remember the Shabbat. The question, of course, is what does Zachor in Shabbat come to add here? What, the Rambam just telling us, hey, I have other cases in the Torah where the verb Zachor is mentioned? So the Or HaSameach, Rav Meir Simcha, here points out that the Rambam is teaching us here that the same way Zachor et Yom HaShabbat is done on a cup of wine, so is Magid done on a cup of wine. So that seems to be the connection between Shabbos and Magid, and we can understand, therefore, why we perform Magid on the second cup of wine. By the way, I read somewhere that Reb Chaim Brisk took this very seriously, that he was makpid that if during the Haggadah, during the Magid, if the wine would spill, which happens, as we know, in many, many homes, the night of Pesach, that's why Haggadah has lots of matzah and wine stains in it. So he was makpid to go back to the beginning of Magid and refill the second cup and start Magid from the beginning. So Magid is also done a cup of wine. The third cup is Birkat HaMazon. Again, this is an ancient halacha that we bench on a cup of wine. Again, similarly to give importance to the wine. And lastly, we have the Shira, the Hallel, which is done on a cup of wine. Here, one could argue very simply that Shira, praise of Kadosh Baruch Hu, singing Kadosh Baruch Hu, as the Gemara says, En Shira Ela Alayayin. In the Beit HaMikdash, the hallel that was said in the Beit HaMikdash was said at the same time when they poured the wine over the Mizbeach, and Shira and wine and festival, dancing, singing, of course, is connected to wine. So that really explains why we have four cups of wine during the Seder. Each one of them is done separately. Each cup symbolizes a separate mitzvah that is performed on the cup of wine. At the same time, each time that we drink the wine, we are celebrating the fact that we are free and we can drink wine as free people do. Where does the fifth cup come into this? So in our Gemara, the fifth cup is not mentioned. However, in the Rif, in back of the Gemara, the Rif quotes a girsa that he had of our Gemara, saying that according to Rabbi Tarfon, there's a fifth cup, and Halal HaGadol is said on the fifth cup. Which would, of course, beg the question, according to this girsa, what would the fourth cup be said on? So the answer would probably be that the fourth cup would be on the Halal that we say before, and the Halal that we say after, what we call Halel HaGadol, would be said on the Kos Chamishi. Meaning, as we all know, let's try to remember from last year, Halel is split into two. We say Halel in two different parts. So according to this idea, Rav Tarfon is teaching us that we don't only split Halel into two parts, but we also split two cups into two parts. The fourth cup on the first Halel, and the fifth cup on the last Halel. The question, of course, is where does this come from, this fifth cup? And is it a real cup? Is it a really a minag, a halacha? So the already in the Gaonim, they discussed this girsa and discussed whether or not this opinion is a real opinion and one should really go by this opinion. The Rif, the Ran on the Rif, quotes the Baal HaMa'or, the Rabbi Zachariah Levi, who understood that this was actually a machloket tanaim between Rabbi Tarfon and Chachamim, whether or not there are actually four or five cups. He, however, concludes that it's not a chovah, but rather may be an option, an optional mitzvah. It may be a reshut. There may be an idea that one is allowed to drink the fifth cup. However, the Ran also suggests another possibility, that it would be considered a mitzvah min hamuvchar. And the truth is that the Rambam has similar language. The Rambam also talks about how you should be pouring the fifth cup. And it sounds from the Rambam that that's preferable, to really have a fifth cup. And by the way, if I'm not mistaken, the minhag of Temanim till today, who follow the Rambam, is to have a fifth cup and to drink a fifth cup based upon the Rambam. However, to my knowledge, and I would be happy if someone can explain this to me, or if someone has a masoret from somewhere else. To my knowledge, no one else today really that I'm aware of has a fifth cup. I'm not aware of people that make a brach on the fifth cup or even drink the fifth cup. I think it's only in the Timani communities. But again, we have to understand, where does this fifth cup come from? Meaning, okay, it's mentioned in the Rif, according to Rabbi Tarfon, and according to some Rishonim, it's actually a mitzvah min hamuvchar, if not Rishut. But what are the origins of this fifth cup? Where do they come from? So the Ravid, who has a commentary also on the bottom of the page of the Rif, he tells us what people usually associate the fifth cup with. He associates it with the fifth word of the Heveti, right? If the four cups of wine, as we said before, are about the Arba Lishnot of Geula, the Lakachti, the Otseiti, he says that the fifth cup is about the fifth pasuk in the Pesukim, Veheveti. I'll read the Ravid. The Ravid says, Arba Kosot Samchum Agada with an Aleph in the Agada, in the Midrash. Keneged Arba Geulot, the Otseiti, the Itzalti, the Gaalti, the Lakachti, the Achamishi. So the Ravid tells us that the fifth cup is for Veheveti. Again, it's not very clear though, because as we mentioned in the beginning of this year, why do the Lishnot of Geula justify having a cup of wine? That I will leave that question open, and hopefully we'll try to answer it in a few minutes. So the Ravid really suggests that the Kos Chamishi is Veheveti. Could it be? And here I am suggesting a possible answer or idea that I actually asked my uncle, Professor Yosef Tabori, who was considered to be a serious expert on the Haggadah. His PhD originally was on the Haggadah Pesach. He wrote some books and articles, many articles on the Haggadah. I asked him, what is the connection really between the Kos Shel Eliyahu and the fifth cup? Is it clear that they are connected or not? They are for sure connected. It's not very clear how they are connected. But when we read the Ravid and we read it about that the fifth cup is connected to Veheveti, it sounds that we are able, based on this Ravid, to somehow connect the fifth cup to the Kos Shel Eliyahu. As if to suggest that the Veheveti is not necessarily referring to the Veheveti that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us to Eretz Yisrael on the day of Yeshua, but rather hinting towards the Veheveti of the future. In the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the Kos Shel Eliyahu. Eliyahu symbolizes the future, the coming of the Mashiach, as if the fifth cup, the fifth verb of the Heveti, that in the future HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, Mashiach will come, etc. That's the Kos Shel Eliyahu. That already can be the connection between the fifth cup and Kos Shel Eliyahu. I'll get back to that in a few minutes, but I just want to suggest a few other possibilities of what this course is really all about. And the Gra mentions an idea, which sounds like a very nice idea. I think it sounds more like a vort than a real idea. The Gra mentions that if what we said is true, that the Bala Me'or and the Ran and the Rambam, and on the other hand, Balei HaTosafot, we said you should only drink four, not five cups. If we have a machloket rishonim, whether or not one should drink a fifth cup, so we have a classic machloket without any psak halacha, says the Gra, what do we do in situations when we have a machloket and we don't know what to do? We have a famous rule in the Gemara called teko. What does teko mean? Teko, we know in Aramaic, means ta'amod, stand. Don't go anywhere. We don't know what to do, so we leave the situation as it is without pasking a halacha. However, we know that some people have argued that tekel is also an acronym for Tishbi Yitaretz Kushiyot Ubayot, that Eliyahu HaNavi in the future will answer our questions and resolve all the disputes and arguments that we have. In a similar way, the Gra says that Kosh Eliyahu is a Kosh Eliyahu because we don't know what to do. So we're not sure, should we make a bracha, should we drink it, should we not drink it? So because of this question, we pour the Kosh Eliyahu and we say, Eliyahu, when he comes, he'll decide what to do with that Kosh. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Sachs also, in his Agada, talks quite about this idea of the Gra. It's a nice idea. However, I find it a bit difficult to argue that's the shot of what the Kosh Eliyahu means or where it comes from. Another possible explanation to the Kosh Eliyahu is brought down by the Netziv of Elojin. The Netziv of Elojin, in his commentary, in his on Chumash HaMeg Davar, explains a deeper explanation to the idea of the four Kosot and Lushnot of Ge'ula. The Netziv understands that the four Lushnot of Ge'ula, Vitzalti, Vlakachti, etc., these Lushnot of Ge'ula symbolize the different steps that Am Yisrael took to reach freedom. The Netziv is bothered with a situation which I think we all recognize, which is that when Bnei Yisrael left Egypt, we were all on a very low level when it comes to understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to understanding what it means to be a free person, what it means to be an Eved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we left Egypt, we were slaves. In Egypt, we were barely had any mitzvot in our hands. We didn't understand what it means to keep Torah mitzvot. We didn't have any Torah mitzvot for that matter. And the Netziv explains that the Arba Lushnot of Ge'ula are about how Am Yisrael are moving from step to step in their Yidiat Hashem, in their closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he suggests that the fifth cup is not Keneged Veheveti, but rather Keneged the Pasuk that appears in the same Pesukim, Vida'atem Ki Ani Hashem. The Pasuk here is not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he's doing to us, but rather referring to what we have to do. This idea is also mentioned in a similar way by Rav Gorin. Rav Shlomo Gorin, the chief rabbi of Israel, in an article about the Kos Chamishi, suggests that in our days today, it would be the right and correct thing to drink a fifth cup. Because if it's true that the fifth cup is about the future, about the Veheveti in the future, so maybe he says that living in times where we already have come to Eretz Yisrael, we have established the state of Israel, maybe he says it's a good idea to drink a cup of wine. A similar idea is brought down in the name of Rav Kasher. Rav Kasher, the author of Torah Shlema, who's a huge Talmud Chacham and also a great Zionist, he wrote the Tkufa Gdola, the book about the state of Israel, as well as, of course, his big work on the Torah Shlema. Rav Kasher has a whole article about the five cups and where it comes from and where the fifth come from. And he also concludes in his article that it would be the correct thing today to drink a fifth cup. Going back to Rav Gorin suggests, similar to what the Netziv of Elojin is saying, is that the fifth cup symbolizes not only what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Am Yisrael, but also the part that we must take in the Ge'ula. If the four steps of Ge'ula, which are symbolized by the first four cups, are about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to us, Vehoceiti, Vega'alti, Velakachti, all the amazing miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed for us, while we sat back and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu save us, so the Veheveti, or in the words of the Netziv, Vida'atem Ki Ani Hashem, is really about the input of man. Where do we come into the process of Ge'ula? About us helping HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if bring the Ge'ula. And I would suggest that this idea reminded me of a beautiful idea I once heard in Rabbi Sachs once gave a shiur about 13 principles of faith, asking A well-known question, why does the Rambam have 13 principles of faith and not 14? We know that the Rambam in Hilchot Teshuvah, when he talks about Bechira Chofshit, free will, the Rambam tells us that free will is one of the most important principles of faith. It is one of the most important amudim that all Yahadut stand upon. Without free will, we wouldn't be able to understand many of the mitzvot and the demands and requirements from us to perform mitzvot. And yet, the Rambam doesn't add Bechira Chofshit in the list of principles of faith. And by the way, it would not be so difficult to have 14 principles. The number 14 is a good number in the world of the Rambam. As we know in Mishneh Torah, Yad Chazaka, 14 principles, 14 Shorashim, and Sefer Mitzvot. There could have been just as easy 14 principles of faith. And the answer Rabbi Sachs gave, in the name, I think, of Rabbi Rabinovich from Alad Dumim, was that 13 principles of faith is about how we must, what we have to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the 14th principle is what we have to do. The free will is not about believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather believing in ourselves. That's why they cannot be part of the 13 principles, which have to do about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the 14th principle is about what humans must believe in, about believing in themselves. In a similar way, it could very well be the first four cups symbolize the Yeshua, the Gila, the redemption that was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while the fifth cup symbolizes the input of man, what we must do to help HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring the Gila. And that's why maybe the fifth cup really stands out here and has its own ma'amad, its own status, which is separate from the other four cups of wine. Well, let's go back to a question which I asked before. I asked, what is the idea of the Arba Kosot? Where does it really come from? And we said that four cups of wine have to do with the four different mitzvot that we performed the night of Pesach. We mentioned Kiddush, Birkat HaMagid, Birkat HaMazon, and Hallel. If this is true, then how does the fifth cup come into the Seder? What mitzvah is there? So we suggested before that we divide Hallel into two. The first Hallel, Hamitzri, is said on the fourth cup, and the Hallel Gadol is said on the fifth cup. But it's really one mitzvah. Why do two kosot of wine? The answer, of course, would be that what Rabbi Tarfon may be saying is that the two types of Hallel are actually two separate mitzvot. They are not the same Hallel. Rabbi Tarfon may be coming to teach us that there is a very big difference between the Hallel Hamitzri, the Hallel that we say normally on Rosh Chodesh, Tanim Tovim, and the Hallel Gadol, Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov Kilam Chasdo, the Hallel that we mention at the end of the Agada. Rabbi Tarfon comes to teach us that it's as if we are talking about two separate mitzvot. And why is that? It could be because Rav Tarfon is teaching us that the two Hallel symbolize two different ideas of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This idea, by the way, is mentioned by other Mefarshim, the Abarbanel, the Levush, who also understood that the Hallel Hamitzri that we say in the beginning on the fourth cup, that Hallel is said to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracles of leaving Egypt. However, we take a break between that Hallel and the next Hallel, because the next Hallel is about the miracles that Be'ezrat Hashem will happen in the future. The Hallel that we say out of Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in the future there will be redemption, in the future there will be Ge'ulah, in the future Eliyahu HaNavi will come, and Mashiach will come. That is the fifth cup, that is the second part of Hallel. And therefore, it makes sense, I believe, why Rabbi Tarfon is telling us that we should separate the Hallels by actually putting it on a separate cup to distinguish between both Hallels. And that's perhaps why the Kos Shel Eliyahu became associated with the fifth cup, because it is the cup that symbolizes the next step that we hope to have one day, of Mashiach, of Geulah, the cup that we're not very sure what to do with. We pour it on the, we pour it, we keep it on the table. We don't drink from it because it symbolizes a chapter in Jewish history that has not happened yet, but a chapter that we are hoping that will happen, that we pray that will happen, and that we believe will happen. So if what we're saying is true, it seems that when the Rishonim told us that this cup is optional, this cup is a mitzvah, but not a chovah, maybe it all has to do with the different understandings of how we should relate to the cup of Geulat, the cup of the future. How should one pour this cup, treat this cup, make a brach on this cup? We're not very sure how to look at the cup of the future, but we all pour that cup, believing that that cup one day will have Eliyahu HaNavi come, drink from that cup, symbolizing the Geulah of the future. So to sum up what we learned today, we learned today that the four cups of wine that we drink the night of Pesach really stem from the four different mitzvot that we fulfill the night of Pesach, and at the same time, they symbolize the freedom that we feel by drinking wine. The kos chamishi that's brought down in the girsa of the Riv seems to symbolize, according to what we said until now, a cup of the future, a cup that will hopefully occur in the future when the Mashiach will come and when the Geulah will come. And that's why the different type of minhagim have been established throughout centuries about this fifth cup, whether or not we should drink it, whether or not we should just pour it. I would like to end with the idea of the Rambam. As I mentioned before, some people learn that the Rambam was very careful when he comes to the Kos Chamishi. The Rambam's language was Mozgin Kos Chamishi, and not necessarily was it about Shotim Kos Chamishi. To symbolize that Kos Chamishi is poured, but not, we don't drink it, because we're not there yet. It's something of the future. When one day, Eliyahu will come and drink from this kos. So that's the shir that I wanted to talk to you about Kos Eliyahu. One last piece to just end the shir will be about the missing cup, as if the fifth cup, the missing cup of the Haggadah, is also a theme, I would say, not only about the kos that's missing, but rather also other certain ideas that are missing throughout the Haggadah. Rabbi Sachs and his Haggadah points us out that there are a few other areas or pieces of the Haggadah that are missing. We know that there are four cups, there are four sons. And the Babetzer Rebbe pointed out that there is a fifth son who is missing from the Haggadah. Ili Wiesel wrote a book called The Fifth Son, referring to the son who is not at the table, who is so far removed from Judaism and from our community that he doesn't even come to the Seder night. That is the fifth son who is missing. In a similar way, we have four cups of Manishtana, four questions of Manishtana, and we have a fifth question, which was said in time of the Migdash. In the time of the Migdash, there was another question, which is about we eat the Korban Pesach. Tonight is no Korban Pesach. That is a question which does not appear today in our Manishtana, but it's also a question which would make the number up from four to five questions. And finally, the fifth cup of Eliyahu, or the fifth cup of the four cups which you talked about before, which is also somehow missing from the Haggadah. I think this all comes to teach us that the night of Pesach is a night in which may be happening in the present, but it focuses on the past, on what happened times of Beit HaMikdash, and it's focusing on the future, on the days of the full redemption. So by talking about, by explaining the fifth element which is missing from the Haggadah, the fifth question, the fifth cup, fifth son, we are focusing on the past, on the present, and the future, because the story of Pesach is not just about what's happening right now, but rather about what happened in the past and what will happen B'ezrat Hashem in the future. And that is the fifth element of Pesach, which is missing from our table, but B'ezrat Hashem in the future will be an essential part of the Haggadah and part of the Seder night. Thank you very much. Have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Rabbi Jay, are you there? Rabbi Jay? I'm not sure if Rabbi. Okay, I want to thank again Torah in Motion, and everyone should know that there are a lot of shroom going on posted on Torah in Motion. I want to thank Rabbi Kelman for giving this opportunity to give this shiur. And I hope to see you next week in another shiur. Kol tov, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.